Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
Welcome to Fire Team Chat, IGN's Destiny Show. Thank you so much for joining us. We're trying this live over at youtube.com/fireteamchat today. So if there are any technical issues, it's all Steven's fault. Anyway, joining me today in the studio is Steven Rue.
What's up?
Brian Malkowitz.
Hey.
And I'm your host, Destin Legarry. Thank you so much for joining us. Because this is live, if you have any questions, let us know them live in chat or leave a comment on this week's episode. On today's show, we're going to be discussing the TWAB updates and how they're going to impact the overall game. We're going to talk about what happened with Xur this week, the quest related to him. And we're also going to talk about Iron Banner and what we think of the new negative power leveling. Let's start there. Did you get a chance to do Iron Banner? You did not, right?
I did not.
So I was worried that this would be a really difficult quest line, where you have to get the fusion or whatever, right?
The Wise and Rebuke, yeah.
The Wise and Rebuke.
Yep.
So a few problems with the Iron Banner negative power increase. First of all, you can still one hit with Jotun. So I just want to run around Jotuning. I used a 30-minute boon. I got about 27 kills. I did it on stream last night.
Okay.
It went pretty easily, pretty smoothly. And for those asking, yes, I forgot to say, CJ is out taking care of his family, doing some family stuff. So that is obviously the most important thing. Or maybe he's just getting his Wizened. Who knows? The problem with Wizened is the role's not terribly interesting. Your year one Wizened is great. And this one is, it has like Demolitionist on it, I believe.
So it's not worth it.
It's not really worth it. But to actually acquire it, it doesn't seem like it's that difficult. And also the bounties this week are tremendously easy. So I was doing the negative power climb up, killing people like way leveled over me. I got 27 kills there. I also did a vast majority of the progress of the quest.
It dropped it down by 100?
Right? So I'm like 680 with the loadout that I like. It dropped me down to 580.
And you're still getting one-hit kills with Jotun?
Jotun still one hits.
Wow.
Jotun.
Yeah.
Jotun.
Yeah.
Is it Jotun or is it Jotun?
Jotun.
I'll call it Jotun.
I still like Iron Banner. I don't particularly like the armor. I got almost all the armor in five games.
I'm just ready for an armor. I'm just ready for an armor design refresh.
Yeah. I really like the year one armor.
Yeah, no, it was great in year one.
And D1 armor.
D1 was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm ready for it to.
No.
Of all time, what is your favorite Iron Banner set? Can you remember? I remember mine.
Easy.
Destiny 1, the second set that was available, was the coolest looking. The first set looked a lot like the Iron Lord.
For me, it was Destiny 1, the PlayStation exclusive set.
Oh, what was that?
Boo.
Also,
I don't know how to describe it, but it was so cool.
Wait, which, I mean, in class specifically?
All of them, dude. They all looked cool.
Let's Google it.
When was the Hunter cloak that had the wolf on it?
The wolf?
Okay, so to refresh everybody's memory, the Hunter.
That looks
the so Hunter cool. had oh, like the, cool. the chain. Yeah. On his neck, he had the cape. It looked Iron Banner themed. The Warlock had the spiky helmet.
The Mohawk.
The Mohawk, that's right.
The Titan
had like the slicey edges and everything. That was the PlayStation exclusive set.
Man, that
refreshing.
Had that like knight look with like the Venom helmet there.
That looks so sick.
Yeah, that's the Destiny 2 Samurai set, which I actually liked.
Right, there was an Iron Banner set where the Hunters had a cloak that, like, when they put it on, it had, like, a wolf.
I think that was like wolf year... Right?
That was Destiny 1.
Yeah,
was that year 2?
Year 2, I think.
Yeah, it was year 2, because I remember when they were marketing Taken King, there was a shot of the wolf cloak.
Right,
it was
right.
Like, oh, dude, there's a wolf cloak.
This is the set. This is the main set. It was either year 1 or year 2.
That was year 1. I did not like that set.
The
really?
Warlock helm is not my favorite.
I do not like that set at all.
There's the one you were talking about.
For everybody watching, sorry you can't see any of these.
I think that came out around the time that Iron what was it called? The last DLC with
Rise
the
of, Rise of Iron.
Rise of Iron. Yes, jeez.
Your iron is rising.
So I like that a lot. Overall, there's not too much to say this week. It's a really, really light week on news.
Yeah.
But for the Iron Banner
stuff.
There's
some decent stuff, though, with like.
There's some stuff that I'm going to rant about a little bit.
Okay. All right. I'll let you get there.
So for the Iron Banner, it's fine. It's fine.
It's fine.
Everything
it's fine.
Is fine.
I've been doing the Battlefield Firestorm review, so I didn't have a chance.
You're doing the review for that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, wow. Congrats. That's your first review at IGN, right?
It is my first review.
Yeah, cool.
You did it. Good job.
Haven't done it yet.
Let's see how the writing part goes. Check that out from Steven later. Okay, so let's talk about some of the updates. You wanted to talk about the drop rates with 1,000 voices. So here's the quote about drop rates for that particular exotic, and you can look up the quote in general. This exotic will continue to be rare among players, but we've tuned the drop weights to give slightly better chances than what are currently available. That literally means nothing. This explanation of how they've tweaked the drop rates isn't good enough, and that really, really drives me crazy.
They just made RNG less RNG is what they're saying.
The exotic will continue to be rare among players. Cool. So you didn't change anything there, but we've tuned the drop weights. I don't know what that means. What drop weights? Are there drop weights? Is this actually a thing in the game? All right. We've tuned the drop weights to give slightly better chances than what are currently
available.
You think
they meant to type rates? I've never heard drop weights used in Destiny 2.
I don't know.
Maybe. Well, drop weights for the final chest or something?
It only drops there. So, like, is it weighted to, like, when they mean weighted, like, what is that? Where are they weighing?
Yeah.
No one will ever know.
That's kind of what I thought, too. I was just really confused by the statement and how they phrased it. And you were talking about cosmetics.
Yeah, the Dreaming City cosmetics. Yeah. It's in the same. Yeah.
Drop rates for Ghost Ship and Sparrow have been doubled, tripled, or more for their respective activities.
Thank God.
Same with Last Wish.
But the most annoying part about this and thing is great. It's a great update, and I love it. Mm-hmm. But the full curse week is next week, and this update isn't ready for that. So we have to wait another 3 weeks.
Really? Oh, no.
Yeah, we have to wait another 3 weeks before this takes effect. Oh, that's the only cosmetic I need to get Cursebreaker. The only thing I need for Cursebreaker.
Which one? The ghost?
The ship.
The ship?
The ship that only drops
I need the raid Ghost and Raid Sparrow for Riven's Bane. That's all I need. And I think I've...
But you can grind that out every week.
Yeah, that's true.
With, you know, Shattered Throne, I have to wait 4 weeks for that boost to to happen. So hopefully, I mean, my luck is I'm going to get it this week.
What title are you chasing?
Cursebreaker.
Are you chasing any titles still?
I mean, I really wanted Riven's Bane, but I was just, like, fed up with the Ghost and the Sparrow, so I just gave up on that.
So which raid do you need the Ghost and the Sparrow from?
Last Wish.
Oh, well, it's getting tripled pretty soon.
Yeah.
There you go. Or more.
Yeah, what does that mean anyway?
I think or more, so I'm assuming like...
For their respective
at least
checkpoints.
With Shattered Throne, I'm going to assume that the ship is tripled just because you get it. You can only have a chance once per 3 weeks.
Once per month, yeah.
Yeah, once per month. I mean, I imagine that's what they mean, but I don't know what they mean for like the raids and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure either. I don't know what that means. I think they were too vague with their phrasing for some of these. But, I mean, that's good. If you're chasing those titles and there's not a lot going on in Destiny right now, then now you have something to chase. Here is a big positive, though. 8-1 will now have all frames going forward. You want to chase that blast furnace. You want to chase that heavy machine gun.
Hammerhead.
Hammerhead. Get your god roll.
Hammy head.
I've been
saying, as Brian calls it.
I've been saying she should have done that after we had access to all the weapons. So, like, I think it was week 4.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed in that.
Yeah, after week 4, after we had a chance at all the weapons once, I thought
at least
like she should have done
once
that.
Once the final forge opened, you were able to take any frame there.
Yeah, because the whole point of the forge and the thing I like about the forge is you can grind the specific weapon you want, so... Mm-hmm. You should have been able to choose instead of having to wait every week. So that's a cool one. I still need a God Roll LMG.
I like that because I've been wanting to chase my Blast Furnace for a long time.
Oh yeah, I need a Kill Clip Outlaw one.
Yep, that's the roll I never got. Furnace.
What? Did you know Brian got a God Roll like the
Outlaw
first
kill
day?
Kill up or something?
It was
Outlaw
it was
Rampage.
No, it was
Feeding Frenzy.
It was Feeding Frenzy Rampage. And I didn't realize it.
And
that was the roll
it.
Because I had two of them, and so I was trying to. I wanted to delete the one I didn't want.
It deleted the wrong one.
I deleted the Feeding Frenzy. I got it back though after like another 10 hours of grinding for it. But and then I immediately masterworked it, and then I locked it, and I was like, never again.
While they're fixing Ada, maybe they can make it so you don't need to go back to her before you can actually go get the gun. That would never happen.
That'll never happen. That's by design. They want you to go back to the tower.
How many times have you accidentally rerun that, like done a forge, thinking you're going to get the weapon? I did it one time.
Wait, what? Dude, what?
You've accidentally done a forge.
I forgot to go back to Ada, and I was like, oh,
no. I don't think I've ever done that.
Well, whatever.
that's a you problem.
Yeah, that's a me problem for sure. But it's a little silly thing that I hope they would fix. No more strike redundancy. They're going to be looking at strikes, making sure that strikes are rotating.
Yeah.
Necessary, because the Corrupted was gone for like...
For the
this week, the Corrupted is available for Forsaken owners to complete. If this is the last checkmark you need for the Dreaming City seal, make sure you head to the Dreaming City before the weekly reset. Moving forward, we'll put effort into preventing streaks where specific nightfalls appear multiple weeks in a row or don't appear at all for months, and we'll be making sure your experience tackling strikes associated with seals isn't feast or famine.
Which is good.
So yeah. They're going to rotate the strikes.
Great change.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was good. But another thing that Bungie has added to Destiny that's like almost kind of like too late. Not too late, obviously. You can grind it out whenever you want, but I feel like they have
would have been nice earlier.
I feel like they have this trend of like addressing those types of things after most people have already gotten through it, after they've done the grind so many times, and it's like, oh, now we're gonna lessen the grind. Like another example is with the power surge bounties, starting in things like.
Why? Very, very true.
They do that very often, where they just kind of address it later. Late.
I 100% agree.
This week at Xur, Steven completed the bounty. Yeah. Steven.
That was cool. So
give us a little rundown. Spoiler warning for 3 minutes.
Spoiler warning. If you don't want to know about the Xur bounty or you haven't done it yet, tune out right now. I'm going to now talk about it right now.
Go.
Okay. So you do the Xur bounty. You go into whatever that's called, the world of the Nine. And the emissary is talking to the Nine. And there's a very big, like, cloud figure.
It wasn't really a cloud. Was it a statue?
It looked like a statue. It was a statue of Marisov.
Made out of clouds.
I don't know what
it looked like.
It was a very defined cloud.
And she's off in the distance. You can clearly see it's her. And the Nine are saying, the clever one is in peril, talking about Marisov. And the emissary something says, like, no, she'll be fine. They go back and forth a little, and the Nine basically say, she's going to die. She's going to be begging for death by the end of this. And then the emissary says, then she will die happily knowing she was doing her job or something like that, which is interesting because we know she already left to go fight something.
Do whatever Mara does.
Yeah, people are thinking it's like Savathun or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's weird because as you're talking, the statue of the queen looks at you.
Oh.
She turns her head and she eventually...
I found that very creepy because it like, was I didn't notice it was moving.
I didn't notice it was moving.
I looked away until and then at looked the back end, for a second and she was looking at us.
Moving Jesus like Christ. Clouds would move?
No, it was just her head moving. It wasn't the entire thing.
Yeah, she just...
When clouds move after they've formed a shape, they get...
She's just staring at you awesome. And then Bife made this video, really well done video. You guys should check it out. But basically the Nine are these... They're a form of like dark matter. They're not actual like entities or like people. They're just a mass of dark matter that are brilliant, but they have no understanding of emotion. Like they don't know what regret is. They just realize like if something is alive or something is dead. That that's all they can process. They can't process.
Did they get
like,
the annual pass? Oh, sorry. That was a bad joke.
Anyway.
They don't know what regret is.
Yeah, right. They don't know what regret is. They don't know any of this stuff. And that was what Bife was like theory crafting. And then this week, the Nine say something like, she's going to regret doing this by the end of it. And then the emissary comes back and says, you don't even know what regret means. Which is like basically confirming what Bife was theory crafting. I thought that was so interesting. And he has another theory about the reason why the Nine are doing this is because they're trying to figure out how to sustain without other things in the universe. Because they need other things in the universe to fight and to basically exist, for them to exist. And Destin's not even listening.
No, I'm listening.
And I think it's so interesting. bounties.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, dude.
We hear you, Steven.
I love the 9 bounties.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do them all.
They're cool. I have to watch Bice's video, though.
I was really hoping for more cutscenes in that.
Yeah, well, lines.
There are more coming. I'm guessing next week.
We had a cutscene the first week, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a pretty lengthy cutscene. But, man, it's so cool. Like, I honestly am very curious to wonder if this is going to lead up to something we're going to get in the D2 lifecycle, mm-hmm. or if this is just going to be a segue into D3, if there's ever a D3. What do you guys think?
I'm not sure.
They'll never address it again.
Dude, I hope not. This is the most fascinated I've been in the lore in a while.
Shout out to CJ Gibson, leaving comments below in chat. CJ, we tried it live. I moved the camera. I set it up, and guess what? It doesn't look so bad. Check it out on video if you get a chance, or at youtube.com/fireteamchat if you're watching or listening on iTunes. And don't forget to leave a review. I really, really, really like the Zer stuff also.
I love them.
Yep. I like that it keeps giving us these little lore beats, mm-hmm. and I hope they continue to develop it. I do want to see another cutscene. I think if there's one next week, that'll be a fairly good cadence. If they wait like 3 more weeks, I don't know. I don't think I'll be as interested at that point.
You don't think so? I'm so interested.
I'll still check it out, but like, at what point do I just say, you know what? I'm not going to do these bounties anymore.
It's like, where the hell is the prince?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's a guardian now.
Yeah.
Where is he? Is he fighting with...
Bungie is setting up for a lot of things, and I really
like
just
the prince has no recollection or memory of his past life. So, like, imagine the queen coming up to be like, hey, I'm your sister. We have a very creepy relationship. But you and I are going to go fight these baddies somewhere in the dark.
Relationship?
Yeah, he's, like, in love with her in a weird way. But, man, it's so interesting. I want them to focus on that.
Yeah.
That's all I have for that.
Let's talk about the Masterwork Core topic from last week. We're really light on conversational topics, so if you have anything you would like us to discuss, leave a comment below or type it in chat right now if you're watching live. This is our first time trying this, so if the show feels a little different, it's because we're getting our bearings. Thank you for supporting us regardless. Masterwork Cores are a mostly useless system. I don't think that it's meeting any of the design needs.
Unnecessary system.
It's just creating unnecessary inventory usage, unnecessary farming, and their new scrapper bounties that they're introducing don't solve the problem whatsoever.
Mm-mm. I agree.
Basically, Paul Tassi, again, he writes a lot about the share world shooter space, and I really appreciate his articles. He basically said that the philosophy of Masterwork Cores actually prevents players from experimenting within the world of Destiny. And I think he hit the nail right on the head.
Yeah.
I'm still a garbage monster Titan. I'm just throwing on whatever and getting it basically where I want because I don't have max level gear yet.
Yeah.
And I'm also, after you surpass 680,
mm-hmm.
there's no reason for you to grind anymore. There's nothing to chase. Like, all right, I got max light. Who cares? What are you, Steven? You haven't been playing as much because there's not a lot to do.
I'm like 670-ish.
And you're playing super casual.
Super, super casual. Mm-hmm. Like, very casual. The most casual I've ever played in Destiny.
This is
history.
It's probably mm-hmm. the most casual I've been playing, too.
Yeah. And
yeah.
Like, I'm at 690, but...
But, like, when I was playing super hardcore, mm-hmm. I did realize something. When you play at that level, you have enough materials and Masterwork Cores mm-hmm. to sustain you. But when you're playing not at that level, you're not going to have that stuff to experiment, like Paul said. And here's another thing that I've realized after 5 years of playing Destiny. Once you get to that level where you have enough Masterwork Cores or materials to kind of start making your loadouts and stuff, by then, personally, for me, what I want, like, a PvP set out, like a setup for each subclass I have. Mm-hmm. Like, I want loadouts for all of them. But by the time I'm at that point, next DLC is like a month away. And to me, it's just like, oh, now this is going to get obsolete, or there's going to be new gear that I want to chase. And it doesn't feel like you ever invest into armor mm-hmm. or loadouts.
And now they have catch-up bounties. Mm-hmm. So, like, with the catch-up bounties, I'm like, why do I even grind this season? You're just going to give me a super easy way where I can be caught up in 20 minutes, and there's not really anything to chase. There should be a raid for the next expansion, though, right?
I believe there is.
Yeah, that was part of the roadmap that the next season of Opulence will have a raid.
Yeah. So that's disappointing, to say the least. I hope they figure out a way to address that. It's just like there's nothing exciting to chase right now. If you've ever wanted to get Lunas, though, this is a really good season to do it, even if you're really, really bad. I've seen some people on Reddit saying that they're able to actually do the chase just queuing in solo and getting a few wins here and there. I might actually give it a shot this season.
Yeah, I wish – I want to be invested into the armor and the gear that you loot I as I'm leveling, I want a loadout. Not once I get to the max level, I'll make my loadout then. It's kind of like, I was thinking about this earlier. I'm a big Battle Royale player. The Battle Royales that frustrate me the most is when there's not a lot of loot and you spend a lot of time looking for your loot and then you get into engagements. I want to land, be able to just loot very quickly and then get into engagements. I want the Battle Royale experience to be about the engagements and the shooting and the combat more so than the looting. And it's a weird comparison, but that's kind of what Destiny feels like. Like, mm-hmm. you spend so much time trying to accumulate all this stuff, and then you start to hunker down and make your loadouts. And by then, it's like, new DLCs in 2 weeks. Or, like, yeah. I don't have the cores or the materials to make that loadout. And that is a frustrating player experience to me.
Yeah. There's just not a lot to chase. I actually like this expansion more. I do enjoy the Reckoning, but I've beaten the Reckoning, mm-hmm. and they're not evolving in any interesting way.
Yeah.
They just have the random modifiers.
It's just that it's the other issue that mm-hmm. it's just tied to Gambit.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not a big fan of Gambit, like, I'm not big on Gambit, but
I have two.
So I have no, like, big reason to go in there unless I'm really trying to get those guns with new roles, but.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think they really shot themselves in the foot with the content, only because it's all tied to Gambit. Like, if you're a Gambit fan, you're probably having a good time. But even if you're a Gambit fan, you've probably torn through the content already.
Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, we knew it was going to be tied to Gambit. Like,
I didn't know it would be this light. So, like, now that we did everything, like, the first 2 weeks, and now there's just nothing until when's the next drop? July?
They have Arc Week coming up.
Oh,
and then there's the Revelry that's coming up as well. That's
do we so know we anything about Arc Week?
So we have Arc Week.
We don't. They said next week they'll tell us what Arc Week is all about.
Because
that's free for all players. That's free for everybody. Yeah.
So
it's
I'm
not
assuming
part of
it's just going to be like a
it's
celebration.
It's on the roadmap.
It's on the roadmap.
Yeah, so that leads me to think that it's something big or exciting. Like,
yeah.
There's
I
no
just,
Solar
I think
Week.
The biggest thing. I think the biggest thing with Arc Week is that it's just going to be like, hey, Arc Week is like double damage. Or something like that the whole week.
But why only Arc? There's no Solar Void.
Well, I
the
imagine
map.
That they'll mm-hmm. they'll like they'll test it out and then they'll just announce a Solar. Mm-hmm.
And then we have that one event coming up.
Revelry.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's called the Revelry. It has the Grandma piece. Pajamas armor. Yeah.
The Grandma. But we don't know what that is. Like
we've seen it.
We know that
we've seen
we know
the
that
armor.
Seen the armor, but yeah.
we
don't
we
know what kind of event
it's like. I think not that we know, but it's in the it's going to be in the forest.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Infinite Forest.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I think they're repurposing it like they did with Haunted Forest.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. For Festival of the Lost.
Yeah. It's a content trip, and like honestly, it feels less stressful to play Destiny now, which I enjoy. Like,
yeah.
Before I'd have to bang out all the content as fast as possible. Now I feel like I can take my time.
It is less stressful, and if by take your time you mean not play it because you really don't, you know, like you'll hop in. Fridays, check out the Xerxes stuff, yeah. or you'll hop into a game of Iron Banner to check it out, mm-hmm. and it's just kind of like, besides that, there's just not a lot going on with Destiny. That's and then Division 2 is out right now. You have a different game and a different character where you can really buff them up mm-hmm. and get those really, really cool drops, and they do some really interesting stuff with loot and the world tiers.
I need
and
that. I need
Destiny's
that.
Not doing any
I need
of that.
That raid to grind for. I need
right?
that raid. Yeah, I need yeah. that raid. Yeah.
I need challenging content to grind for. Mm-hmm. What do we do in D1? We would grind for Iron Banner. We would grind to get ready for the raids, for Trials of Osiris. Mm-hmm. Even factions. You could do faction rep every week.
Yeah. Well, okay, so this is a very interesting segue into mm-hmm. a topic we can talk about. The thing that kept me coming back to D1 after mm-hmm. I exhausted all the grinding and the content was the PvP.
Yeah.
The PvP in D1 is just different than D2. I'm not saying D2 PvP is bad. It's just there's something about it that's different, and it just like tugs at your heartstrings, mm-hmm. and that kept me coming back, helping friends and people in the community get to the lighthouse. That community and that loop kept me coming back to the game every weekend. It's just not there anymore in D2. That activity,
it's missing that end game activity.
It's missing that end game activity that's so addicting, and that you can help other people. There's nothing really in the game now that's like that.
Mm-hmm.
And segue into the other topic.
Yeah, I know where you're going with
this. A lot of rumors about D3 not having a PvP. And
what?
Well, you think about where he's going with this and like who just left Bungie.
And
yeah, so I was going to talk about that. John Wisniewski and Hamrick. both left Bungie recently. John Wisniewski we've actually had on Fireteam Chat in the past.
Yeah, super nice guys.
Super nice guy, really into metal. Rock out, dude. Yeah. He plays in a band, actually, a metal band.
We wish them the best.
Yeah. He said, Destiny fam, after 12 magical years, today is my last day at Bungie working on this incredible game. Building this thing with all of you has been the experience of a lifetime. It's silly how lucky I feel to have been a part of it. Nothing but love for all of you. Yeah. And then Hamrick also left. Similarly, fond farewells from him. And it does suck to see longtime people in the industry. I wish them the best in the future.
Yeah.
And I hope they're going on to good things.
Yeah. You know? And I want to nip this in the bud right now. People leave, like big names from IGN leave all the time.
Yeah.
And the immediate reaction is like, something's happening with IGN.
Which is
like,
not always the case.
It's not always the case. There's so many things behind the scenes. People do move on in their careers. Like they might have wanted to make a game. I think Wisniewski said he wants to try something.
Well, he said he's saying he's going in the dark because he has something that he's working on.
Yeah, and then like, so it is alarming when you see two senior combat sandbox design leads leave on the same day. Today's their last day, and when you see that, it is alarming, especially with the rumors of there being no PvP in D3. But I don't want to jump to that conclusion yet. Like people do move on in their careers, and people leave IGN all the time. It doesn't mean our company is shutting down or we're dropping a portion of the community. So it's going to be interesting to see, because two senior people leaving the same department is pretty big.
Yeah. Hamrick said, tomorrow marks the beginning of my last week at Bungie. I love that studio and that game more than I can ever capably describe. But it's time for me to move on to something else for a while. I'm going to take a little time off and I'll get back to making games.
Yeah.
Heart you.
So I don't want to speculate on if this means there's no PvP or anything. But let's say there is no PvP in D3. What do you guys think? There are rumors that it's going to be like the Dark Zone. Like the Dark Zone in Division.
Why would you take away PvP? So if we're going to just talk rumors, let's
they don't want to have to deal with like...
Let's set a few ground rules. First of all, this is absolutely a rumor. This is not true. We're going to have fun with it. We're going to run with it as though it is truth and how we would react to it. I hate it. If it is truthful and they completely remove PvP from Destiny, I think it's a very bad decision.
Oh, man, I'm so like back and forth on this. Like, I love the PvP in D1. PvP in D2 is fine.
But it's just like okay. I would just say okay.
Yeah, it's just okay.
Not even.
But there's always that balance issue that Destiny 1 and Destiny 2 have always fought with. You can't balance for you can't balance the exotics and the weapons equally for PvE and PvP. It doesn't work. Like,
maybe it's time for them to just drop the philosophy of trying to just keep them both balanced in the same time. Like, when you need to make a balance adjustment
but their
for
whole,
PvP,
yeah,
it doesn't need to. They already have some of those
tuned separately.
Yeah, they already have some of those separate indications.
I mean, okay, so that is
across the board.
That is like an idea, but I feel like I recall them saying they want them to be equal on both sides of the game, because when you have an exotic or a weapon, you want it to feel the same way no matter what you're doing. And that includes like perks, the handling, the damage, all that.
I get that. But I mean, like think about like exotics and things you would use. Like I want to take it back to Thorn in Destiny 1.
Mythoclass,
Thorn. Like when you took Thorn into PvE in Destiny 1, why?
You wouldn't. Yeah.
That means the gun was separately.
Like you wouldn't
it was
use last word.
It was a very different game.
PvE.
Like when you used Thorn in PvE, it felt dramatically different than if you used it in PvP.
Yes.
So it's like I wouldn't agree with that sentiment in the first place.
True. But I don't know. It's like I'm thinking it in a way. Wormhusk in PvE was fine. It was great, actually. Like if you're doing a raid and you're super low,
yeah,
Shadestep, get your health back. But it was way too good in PvP. Mm-hmm. They neutered it. And now it's not usable in PvP or PvE. Yeah. And it's interesting. But with the rumors of it being like a Dark Zone kind of thing, I've always said since D1.
Where are you getting these rumors?
Reddit. Like it's that. Right. It's from the one source. It's from the one source that has been right about
Mega Man?
No. Anna and the Nine?
Anna on the Nine.
He's been right about a lot of things. And I would love to see kind of a Dark Zone thing in Destiny where you're in a patrol. Obviously you wouldn't be able to three tap with a hand cannon. Like the time to kill would be dramatically different.
It would have to be.
It would have to be.
Yeah.
You can't just be like dying. Yeah, you can't be doing that. But like, you're doing these challenging PvE things, killing these like big bosses and minions, and you're getting like exotic drops, legendary drops, and then people can fight you for that. I think that, man,
I feel like they would have to drastically change their loot system then.
Oh yeah, I mean, they have to change a lot of things to implement that, but yeah. I feel like if they really want to dive into that, it could be really promising. And I know dropping PvP is a very, very drastic move, but in the end it might be,
if they're going for like a one sandbox fits all,
might be the right, it might be the right thing for Destiny. I don't know.
I don't know.
And this is coming from a PvP guy.
As somebody who's not a PvP, as a not a PvP guy, like I can't, I don't want to express like, oh yeah, I'm fine, whatever. You know, because I don't play PvP that often.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, like, I know that there's just a big
Destiny,
a big crowd for it.
Destiny is in such a unique spot where it is a PvE and a PvP game, and they've always struggled to find that balance. And if they just devote all the resources into one mode, I think in the end it would be better.
Call me crazy, but right now the only thing that really excites me about Destiny is the PvP. Likely because it's
really
the mode in the game that I've explored the least. So right now the player base is lower. A lot of people are playing Division or whatever. I'm actually doing okay in PvP. Like, I'm not like your skill level, right? But I'm doing okay for myself, and I'm finding these new challenges, like with the power throttling and then being able to hop an Iron Banner.
Yeah.
I do actually wish that they would just bring back some of the classic modes.
Like,
where's Trials? Yeah. Where's Elimination?
Yeah.
Where's Rift?
That's what kind of helped keep Destiny alive, too, during content droughts, is like the thing that would shine the most is PvP.
It's, where's Crucible Labs? Apparently non-existent anymore.
It's so weird to me because in D1 I was... I've always been PvE and PvP, but in D1 I was heavily PvP, and D2 has kind of made me lean the other way. I'm more invested in PvE now than the PvP, and that's a combination of the PvE and D2 being great and D1 PvP being better subjectively to me than D2 PvP. But like, if I needed a PvP fix, I could play other games. Like Halo Infinite's going to come out,
because
I'll play Apex, things like that. And I wouldn't mind, actually, personally, if D2 was just a super robust PvE experience that I could just devote hours into, like really transmogging and crafting and stuff like that. I think that would be fantastic.
I suppose so.
If they leaned real hard into the RPG aspect of...
Yeah, it's not like if D2... It's not like if D3 cut PvP, I'd be like, oh, I'm not playing D3 anymore. Like,
no.
I love the PvE portion of
this. Yeah, it's like, it's still great. It's still playing.
Yeah, can you imagine if it was that much better? Like,
quick correction. I didn't say PvP is good. I just said I'm having a good time playing it because it's an... mode I haven't explored very much.
Yeah,
PvE
yeah,
is in a pretty good spot. PvE feels great, man. There's
PvE
a lot of weapons that blow enemies up real good. You got Thunderlord, which still feels really nice.
Warlocks are hot right now with the
Skull of Dire Ahamkara and the Nova.
I wouldn't be opposed to it, is my final line.
You wouldn't be opposed to
Be opposed to them dropping PvP and completely making it a PvE game as long as there are the improvements. Like, if you just cut out PvP right now and kept D2 kind of what it is now, that's not enough. You need to really expand and kick ass on the PvE.
We'll see what they do. Like I said, this was a pretty light episode this week. Steven, was there any other topics that you wanted to talk about off the top of your head?
Can't wait until next week for the Zerg.
I am excited to see what happens with Zerg. Brian, what about you?
I'm excited to see what happens with Arc Week.
Yeah,
I'm sure we're going to get the reveal of whatever the revelry actually is soon as well.
What if Arc Week is just all arc damage is buffed 400%?
400%, my God.
Well, see, the reason why I don't think that is because there is no solar or void week on the roadmap.
It's not yet.
That's why I say, at least because it's this season. It's this season up through.
It specifically says Arc Week.
Yeah, I imagine that they're going to test it out and then like later be like, all right, this is when solar week is. This is when void week is. But we don't know. We don't have those through summer.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, it's weird to me that it's specifically just Arc Week on the roadmap, nothing else. I remember reading that and I'm just like, Arc Week, like, where's Void and Solar?
I wonder if like when they do that, if it's actually going to affect PvP too, like if you just use Arc stuff, that it's just stronger, not making other things weaker, but just making those things stronger.
And why Arc? I don't know, it's so interesting.
Like, there's probably something there. I don't think it's going to be that.
Hopefully,
I don't think it's
going to
be particularly compelling.
What you want. You want lore behind it rather than just Bungie saying, hey, here's Arc Week.
Well, I just
more
want
damage.
Something more than more damage for Arc. Like,
yeah. You just want something tied to it.
Yeah.
Did you guys have anything else you wanted to discuss?
No. Pretty light week this week.
All right. Well, then, Bungie, please remove cores. And that's it for this week, everybody. Until next time, Guardians out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.